My thoughts this week were on a message that I thought that I needed a lot for myself, and thought the Sunday school lesson this morning and the devotions fit real well with my needs. The title of the message today is Just Like Jesus. And that's the call that we're called to, just like Jesus. And I don't have all the answers, but I believe that. I trust I can generate some thoughts this morning that we can examine our lives, and somehow we can examine ourselves and examine Jesus and somehow become just like Jesus. Of course, we're a human being, so being just like Jesus is going to be probably a little short of just like Jesus, but that should be our goal for life. And the phrase that I want to start with is, God loves you just the way you are. But he refuses to leave you there. He wants you to be just like Jesus. He loves you just the way you are. But he doesn't want you to stay there. He wants you to become more like Jesus. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 5. And we'll look at some different scriptures here this morning to give us some thought. Paul writes here in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. He says, For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And what Paul is saying here is when we come to Christ and we endeavor to be like Christ, just like Christ, we're not going to start in perfection. We're not going to immediately look like Christ. It's going to be a growing experience. For he says in verse 12, he says, when we were teachers, you ought to be teachers, yet you need to learn yourselves. In other words, when we endeavor to become like Christ, we still need to grow. Teachers also need to have teachers, and we need to continue to grow into this likeness of Christ. In verse 13, he says, "We are unskillful, so we're needing to learn to grow of the oracles of God." He's talking about the oracles of God, and I wondered what these oracles were. And he made reference to 1 Peter 4:11. It says, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do as of the ability that God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." The oracles that he's talking about, he wants us to look for God in Jesus Christ. He wants us to notice that the babes, they desire milk, but as we grow, As we're born into Christ, we believe that we want to grow more like Jesus. And as we're growing more like Jesus, then Jesus is going to bring things into our life which are, quote, milk or meat, where we can, he brings things to us to challenge our situation, to challenge us, and that we desire to grow in our experience with God, with Christ. I believe that God loves us. I'm gonna get a couple thoughts there in Genesis about God's love. I want to talk about this morning. I want to touch on three different kinds of love: the love of God, and the love of Jesus Christ, and the love of the Holy Spirit. And we'll talk about how they can make us become more like Jesus. We believe that God's love is unconditional. He loves us no matter what. God doesn't say because we are sinners, I'm not going to love you anymore. We see that happening in the world. We see that happening. Well, what about us? Because you're a sinner, I'm not going to love you. No, God loves us no matter how. I believe there's two types of sins here. There's the sin of making a mistake when we fail. Or there's the sin what we call premeditated. Or it's an attitude. Or it's a situation where I've become a babe. I've refused to drink anything more than milk. And thereby I don't continue to grow. I've come to Christ, but I've failed to continue to grow. And the other sin is total unbelief. We either choose not to grow, or we choose not to believe, or we have an attitude, a premeditated situation where it is part of my life, it's part of my daily action, but it's called sin. But because we've sinned, God still loves us. Whether we sin by attitude or premeditation, or whether we sin by mistake, God's plan is to reform us, to bring us to Christ, to be more like Jesus. God wants us to look like Jesus. Love. The love that we want to talk about here this morning is a caring, an attitude of caring about either physical, spiritual, or emotional well-being. God cares. This love that God continues to shower upon us is physical love, his spiritual love, and emotional. He cares about us. Whether we've sinned or not, God still cares about us. He still wants us to become like Christ. This love that the Bible's talking about is not a love of living happily ever after. It's not a love of sweet repose, of ease, or carnal pleasure. But it's a love that God shares to us to prepare us to be like Jesus, to enter into God's eternal kingdom. That's a qualification that God's calling us to. If we're going to enter into his eternal kingdom, to eternally worship God, the qualifications is to be like Jesus. a willingness to worship. And the willingness for us to worship comes when we become like Jesus. And that's what I want to look at this morning, is how we can become more like, first of all, the love of God. I want to talk about the love of God, then the love of Jesus, and then the love of the Holy Spirit, and how these affect our lives. The Bible says God is a spirit. In John 4:24, Jesus says God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit. The Bible also says that God is love. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. I'm going to pull a few things out of here. Genesis 3:8-9. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" This is this God of love. He's coming to walk in the garden today. Yet he's walking in our garden, and he's saying, "Where are you? I want to commune with you. I want to love you." And he's looking for this communion in return. This is God's great display of love. He's still out there in our gardens, and he's still looking for a relationship with mankind, with you and I. And in verses 20, 22 and 20 through 22 through 24 in the same chapter. And God said, "Behold, the man is become one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he is taken. So God drave out man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims, a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." Man had disobeyed and sinned, but God drave man out of the garden so that he couldn't continue to live there in sin. And God does that for us today. When we sin in failure, or we sin in attitude, we sin in premeditated, God still drives us out of the garden because he loves us so much. He wants communion with us so dearly that he won't allow us to live there in that garden for fear we partake of the tree of life and live in our sinful state forever. We get comfortable in this state of sin. God won't allow us there. He'll drive us out of there to bring us to a thought of change, of something. That was God's thought when he drove man out of the Garden of Eden, was that man would need to search for another way. And the sword of here, he's indicating that the way past the sword is through Jesus Christ. We need to become like Christ in order to enter back into that relationship, that communion with God, that love communion relationship that God wants with us, is only through becoming like Jesus. If we can somehow understand Jesus and become like him, and I believe God does for us today the same thing, time and again, he brings us to an uncomfortable situation where we don't feel comfortable in the sinful situation we're at, and we turn and we search again for Jesus, for a relationship, for a communion again with him. God's plan is for us that we walk with him in the garden, to fellowship in love with him. Let's go to Matthew. I want to look at the love of Jesus somehow to understand what this love of Jesus really is. Take us all week to explain the love of Jesus, but I want to just touch on it a little bit. And let's look at Matthew chapter 8. And I'll read first four verses. When he has come down from the Mount of Olives, a great multitude followed him. So he's just at the end of the Sermon on the Mount here. He taught many, many things on the Sermon on the Mount there. And after he came down, it was obvious that people were seeking for communion with Christ because of his love that flowed out from him, his concern for the mankind, and people wanted to have communion or fellowship with Christ. And they followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, but this leper apparently was somewhere among this group, this multitude. And Jesus knew that as soon as he touched this leper, that he would be defiled according to the law of the Jews. As immediately when he touched, the lepers were a separated people. They were cast out according to the law of Moses. They weren't allowed into the city. They were separated. They were shunned. They were unclean. And Jesus knew that as immediately when he touched this leper, that he was defiled. He wasn't allowed into the temple by law. But Jesus touched him. Because the leper asked for mercy. He asked for the love of God, the love of Jesus in his heart. And Jesus was willing to touch that defile and become defiled according to the law. That's the love of Jesus in our hearts. Beloved, we need to become willing to risk our personal shunning, separation, uncleanness, whatever it be. We need to risk our personal status, would you say, to show the love like Jesus showed. The beggar on the street, you put the words there. There's lots of situations where when we touch the situation, we come at risk. But this is what Jesus is calling. When we share the same love that Jesus shared to us, we're willing to take risks to love others. Those that are in sin of failure, those that are sin of premeditated or of attitude, we're willing to risk our attitude, our reputation, to help others come to the likeness of Jesus. And then in verse 4 he says, and Jesus said unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, shew thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. He's saying to the leper, don't make a big deal of this, but go, pay your dues, and love as I loved. That's what he's calling this leper to do. for a testimony unto them, as a witness unto the priests. I want you to go and love as I loved you. That's the testimony Jesus is calling us to today, to love just like he loved us. Just as Jesus walked, just as God walked with Adam and Eve there in the garden before the fall, just as God walked with Adam and Eve, Jesus wants to walk with us. In our messes, Jesus wants to walk with us. He wants to touch our leprosy. He wants to walk with us in our messes. He wants to walk with us in our worry. He wants to walk with us in our depressions. He wants to walk with us in our grief. And he wants to walk with us in our pride. And every time he walks with us, he wants to refine us into being more like him. The refining fires aren't always pleasant. But Jesus, when he walks with us, he wants to refine us. He wants to make us just like him. John chapter 8. Yeah, I think John chapter 8, I'm going to read the first 11 verses is what I'd like to talk about. Jesus went unto the sermon, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees sought unto him, brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And if we study this, this woman wasn't taken in a sin of fault. She was taken in a sin of attitude. She had sinned many times. In other words, it was a part of her life. And when they had set her in their midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman has taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such an one should be stoned. But what sayest thou? The scribes and Pharisees are saying, yeah, here, according to the law of Moses, this woman rightfully needs to be stoned. And they're asking Jesus, what do you think about this? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. He's given them time to think. And most of the time when we're dealing with people that are in sin, or they're asking us to touch their lives, the most important part of the thing that they need is they need time to think. They need time to think where they're at. And so when they continued asking, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. What I want us to learn out of this is this idea of becoming like Jesus. These people were saying, you know, get the law, call the police, let's get something done here. This woman is she's in sin. And Jesus says, examine yourself. Are you walking with Christ? And I can assure you that when we examine ourselves and say, am I like Christ? Am I like Jesus? And if I'm like Jesus, then I can cast the first stone. I'm pretty sure that when that happens, that we're not going to be casting any stones. And as he gave them time to think, in verse 8, and in verse 9, and they which heard it began being convicted of their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus left alone and says unto the woman in the midst, When Jesus had lifted up himself, he saw none but the woman. He said unto her, Woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she says, No man. No man. I don't know how she felt at this point, but I have a feeling how she felt at this point. She just marvels that no man. I'm sure she's been condemned many times before. And she says, no man condemn me. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Jesus is calling to her here unconditional forgiveness. It's done. I forgive you. But he calls her to become like Jesus. Go and sin no more. He calls her to a work to become more like Jesus. Is there any way that Jesus could have called her to be like him by first casting a stone? There's no way Jesus could have cast a stone and then said, hey, become like me. No. Jesus, if we're going to become like Jesus, the first thing we need to do is we need to forgive. Cast no condemnation if we're going to become like Christ. But call them to a new life in Christ Jesus. Skip down to verse 12. Then spake Jesus again and said unto them, talking to the Pharisees here, I believe. He said, I am the light. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of this life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is true, is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear a record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I came and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. This is what Jesus is saying. You judge after the flesh. I judge no man. In other words, Jesus is saying, you use your personal, your law to judge the situation. But he says, I judge no man. I don't do condemnation. I just call you to be like me. Because if he has thrown a stone here at the woman at the well, his light that he was, the light that Jesus was, the example that Jesus was for us to come to, would have been marred. He's calling us to I walk with him. The same walk that God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden before the fall. That's the walk that God wants to walk with us today. The quote that I picked up recently, a couple of them. It isn't hard to obey someone who really loves us. It's not hard to obey someone that really loves us. That's Jesus. Those who betray us are victims of a fallen world. We needn't place all the blame on them. We can put some of the blame on Satan. Jesus found enough of good in the woman at the well to redeem her. He found enough of good in that woman to bring her, to redeem her to himself. He opened the opportunity for redemption. The way of redeeming is not the law. The way of redeeming is the law of love. Let's go to Acts. I'll think a little bit about the love of the Holy Spirit. Look at Acts chapter 1, a couple verses there, and then we'll go to Acts 16. Let's go to Acts chapter 1, verse 5 through 8. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he saith unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But, he says, verse 8, But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses of me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria unto the uttermost parts of the earth. He's saying here that when this Holy Spirit, the disciples in verse 6 were still looking for an earthly kingdom. They were looking for a kingdom of the law. But Jesus says here, these are words of Jesus, but he says, when you receive power, you shall be witnesses of me, of my love, my power. And if you're going to be witnesses of Christ, that's the call that he has for us here, is if we're going to be the witnesses of Christ, then we need to be like Christ. That love that Christ had for the leper, the love that Christ had for the woman at the well, that same love needs to be in us if we're going to be witnesses in Deming. Paul said the law, let's go to Acts 16. Thoughts I'd like to gather there in closing. Paul says, the law killeth. I mean, I know and I understand that we need regulations and we need laws and we need rules. But it goes back to the quote I just mentioned a little bit ago. It's not difficult for us to obey if the law is delivered to us from someone that loves us. If God delivers a law to us and we feel that he loves us, then it's not difficult to obey his law. It won't seem like a law. It'll seem like love. Paul said, the law killeth, the spirit maketh love. The Spirit maketh alive. One verse I'd like to look at here in Acts chapter 16, verse 25. It says, At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And I believe this is a direct revelation of what happens when the spirit of love is within our hearts. They were in prison. They could have been, but they weren't worried about their reputation. They weren't worried about getting sleep so they could function tomorrow. They weren't worried about how they were going to get out of this prison. But Paul and Silas in this prison, in the Spirit, they were full of the Holy Spirit. And it's obvious here that in the prison, that Holy Spirit shined out from their hearts. It was obvious that Paul and Silas were like Jesus. That same love that Jesus had was in their hearts. A quote that I came across this morning was that relationships, I want this to be really clear. Relationships don't thrive because the guilty are punished, but because the innocent are merciful. I think this directly relates to the devotions this morning. Relationships don't thrive because the guilty are punished. And this is Jesus. But because the innocent are merciful. God in the Garden of Eden loved man even though he sinned. He made a way for redemption. Beloved, the heart of redemption is not the law, but the heart of redemption is love. At the beginning of this message, I said, God loves you just the way you are. But he refuses to leave you there because he wants you to become like Jesus. And that's my burden this morning, that we could open ourselves up to, that God could, through Jesus, could work in our lives, that we could be changed, that we become more and more like Christ. Let's kneel for prayer. Mighty God, we come before you this morning to acknowledge our needfulness of you. We just thank you for many times that you've been faithful to us, blessing us with your love, and your mercy, and your grace. We just thank you for this opportunity of gathering together to worship, Lord. Pray for those throughout the world that are gathered to worship today, that you would bless them as well. We pray for those today that are being persecuted for your name's sake throughout the world, that are being sawn asunder, being persecuted for your name's sake. Lord, we pray for those today that are holding between two opinions, that have are catering to the law instead of the love. Lord, we pray that as we go about our lives here, that we could be an open witness, a testimony in your behalf, and that as we become more like Jesus, that our light would shine a brighter light, and that we could help to draw others to be more like you. Lord, we pray for our youth among us, the children among us, that you would bless them for their being here. Lord, fill them with a morsel of your word, an attitude that they would want to become more like you. Thank you, Lord, for all the blessings you've given us, for food, clothing, and shelter, the natural blessings in life. And we just thank you so much for this congregation here at Sunshine. We pray that you would help us to grow stronger and more loved, and that we could be a light and shining testimony to all those that we meet in the highway of life. We ask this in Jesus' name.